Morning, everyone. I'm glad you're all here today. I'm happy to be here. It's been a while since I've been on stage. I've mostly been teaching at Friday Night Service, and I actually haven't been able to teach there for a while either because I was working on Friday nights, and we did end Friday Night Service, and then Rob said, I'm going to go hunting, and Justin said, I'm going to go hunting, and Mark said, I'm going to be with family. So I'm your injured reserve teacher for the day, fourth string on the depth chart. And I own that spot. So, I just so happen to be right in the middle of our week, our 3-week series, I believe, on finances. And I get to talk about debt, which is actually really exciting for me. I really like to talk about debt a lot. It's so much fun to talk about money you don't have. So, but the real reason why I like to talk about it, actually, is I have a very good testimony or a good story about debt that I like to share a lot of times, which I'll get into later. But what we're going to talk about tonight is this overarching question about, like, do we do debt? Do we not do debt? You know, what's the purpose of debt and money and finances? Let me go to the next slide. Luke's always like, Matt, you never give me any cues, and he's right. But the title of this message is Don't Do Debt? Question mark, almost implying like it's a bit of a murky water subject. It's a wishy-washy, little gray area, which kind of made me beg the question, well, is debt good? Is it evil? Is it right? Is it wrong? Left, right, up, down? And for me, this is how I was structuring my teaching was just, oh, that first one didn't come up. I have 3 points that I want to talk to. The first one is debt biblical? There you go. I love it when I teach and Luke is the PowerPoint. Like, I'm going to break the fourth wall here. I just love it because whenever I mess up, Luke fixes it so it looks like it's working. And he's just up there just, I see him all the time just typing away. Just like, dang it, Matt, that wasn't ready. So, all right, back on track. So, the main question I want to look at is, like, is debt good? Is it evil? Is it right? Is it wrong? And I have 3 points I want to walk through. The first one being, is debt biblical? We're going to read a couple Proverb verses because the book of Proverbs is incredibly awesome and wise. It's just it's about 31 chapters just talking about how to live life in a broken world. So much wisdom in those Proverbs. And we're going to look at a couple. The next thing I want to be able to talk through is just our story. I kind of mentioned it a little bit. Brianna and I have a really good story about how we were in debt, and now we are debt-free. We're 27 years old, and we're debt-free. And I'll be able to explain that story in more detail a little bit, which is why I love to talk about debt. And the last thing I want to look at is, well, let's shoot for being debt-free. You know, what are the benefits for being debt-free? I mean, does God ask us to live in a perpetual state of owing other people money? I don't think so. So God does ask us to work towards becoming debt-free and not owing anybody anything else. So we'll look at the benefits of being debt-free so that we can know to shoot for that. So let me pray, and we'll jump into this, and we'll see if I remember what I practiced last night. So, Lord, you are awesome. You know, this is no surprise. Money has existed since the beginning. People have always been trading one thing for another to possess something. And people have been going into debt to possess things as well. And I just pray that as we walk through this message, the Spirit would just be guiding us and just filling in all the gaps for us, God. Answer all the questions that's in our head, Lord. You know, maybe we look at this as just another opportunity to glorify you and to honor you and to not worry so much about right or wrong, but just to listen to you and the Spirit today, God. This is what I pray for. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let me also preface this with debt is very much an open-handed issue. You guys know what I mean by when I say that? It's not a closed-fist issue such as, is Jesus the Son of God? That's something we don't budge on. Jesus is the Son of God. He's our Savior. We don't budge on that. Open-handed is when we talk about debt. You know, is it good? Is it bad? Is it a tool? Should you avoid it? Should you go into it? How should you use it? And that being said, I want you guys to know that as I'm talking through this and I'm going to be reading these verses, it's more so just what I feel like the Spirit has been discerning within me when reading these verses and what I've been communicating. Meaning, I'm probably going to say things, and you guys may have a completely different viewpoint, and that's not only okay, it's good, because it's good to have different viewpoints about open-handed issues like this, because that's how we can sharpen each other. So I encourage you that if I'm going through this and you're like, I don't know if I agree with that, Matt, I would be more than happy to chat afterwards, or you can talk amongst yourselves. And if you do agree with me, I want you to stand up, clap, and say, amen, you the man, okay? So, all right, so let's tackle this first one here. What does the Bible say? What does God say about debt? There's two Proverbs I want to look at, and I'll read the Proverbs, I'll read the next one. And the first one I want to read is in Proverbs 22, it's chapter 7. This is probably the most famous proverb verse when it comes to talking about finances, when it comes to talking about debt. It's on page 772. That was a joke. Yeah, okay. 22:7. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is slave to the lender. By show of hands, how many of us have heard of this verse, right? Probably in other translations. I know the ESV says slave to the lender. The borrower is slave to the lender. Basically, what this proverb is saying, the foremost, is that you do not actually own the money that you possess. Does that make sense? You can have actual money in your hand. Nowadays, it's a plastic card. But you can actually have money in your hand, in your possession, in your bank account. But if you're in debt, if you took out a loan, you don't actually own that. It's one of those things where, for example, you go to the bank and you say, I would like to take out a loan. And the bank says, well, what do you want to take a loan out for? Well, I need a new car. Okay, well, we approve you. Here's your loan. You go get a car. You go to the dealership, you buy the car. The dealer gives you the title, you write your name on it, the car is in your name, it's got your address, it's your license plate, you spent the fee to pay for the registration, all that jazz, and you're driving the car. You're driving the car, it's got your name on the title, but you took out a loan from the bank to buy that car. A equals B, which equals C. The bank gave you the money to buy the car. You used the bank's money to buy the car. Your name may be on the title, but the bank owns that car until you pay the bank back. As a millennial, that is incredibly profound. I don't know if anybody else thought that. But that's just how it works. That's just how debt works. That's just the black and white, very basic, fundamental root of debt. You owe something to somebody else, and you don't actually own what you possess until you've paid it all back. That's just the very fundamental level. And the next proverb I want to look at, though, is in chapter 27, a couple pages later, verse 12. I'm going to read this, and you're probably going to think, what's this got to do with money? But I'll explain. A prudent person, this is 27:12, a prudent person foresees the danger ahead and takes precautions. The simpleton, other translations say the fool, goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Okay, so the first verse we're looking at basically is saying, like, you don't own the money that you have lended out. The second verse is saying, are you being wise with what you're doing with your money? Are you foreseeing the circumstances, the consequences that could come if you take out a loan, if you go into debt, or if you avoid debt, if you avoid a loan? Which can make you beg the question is, well, what are you planning on going into debt for? You know, some people probably go into debt to get a new education. Maybe they're not content with the money they're making or the job they're at, so they take out a loan, they go back to school. And they plan that out. They foresee the circumstances, the situation, the time, the money, the effort, how they're going to pay it back. And maybe people just kind of blindly go into a debt because they just want the latest iPhone. Like, I don't have the money in my savings right now, so I'll just go get a quick loan and I'll go get that phone. But then, if you don't plan it out, plan through it, you may have some trouble paying that phone back. So that's kind of what I'm seeing here in Proverbs, is that God is saying, you don't actually own what you possess, but you can plan accordingly to either avoid debt or to pay it off effectively, efficiently. Which then begins to make me think, well, what if we ask the big question, right? This could be the question that everyone's pondering, thinking about. You know, is debt a sin? Is it a sin? All right, we're going to take a survey by show of hands. No, I'm never going to do that. No. Let me tell you why I don't like this question. I don't like asking, is blank a sin? I don't like asking, is playing Xbox a sin? I don't like asking, is watching football for 6 hours on Sunday a sin? I don't like, trust me, after this, it's not going to be. So, I'm kidding. I don't like asking, maybe I'm making a generational gap. I don't like asking, is smoking a cigarette a sin? I don't like to ask these questions. Because again, I feel like it's a bit of an open-handed issue. And let me explain why I don't like this. I don't like to ask or answer the question, is something a sin? And with debt, is debt a sin? I think debt is more of a choice. I think it's more of a choice. It can be an immature choice or it can be a mature choice. And I also understand, I recognize that there are families in a difficult financial time where they literally do not have the income to pay their bills, so they have to take out a quick loan. I understand that those situations exist. And I don't have an answer for those folks, for that situation. But from what I can see, probably from the average American, is that debt is more of a choice. You're choosing this, you're choosing to go into debt. And whether you choose to go into debt or you choose not to go into debt, there are just natural consequences of our choices, right? Parents who have teenagers, you tell your kids this all the time probably. There are just natural consequences if you choose to go left or if you choose to go right. And you got to be able to deal with them and handle them maturely. And I think debt is a lot like that. Whether you choose to go into it and how you choose to do it and what you're going into it for, you will just naturally face consequences of that choice, good or bad. So I think a better question to ask isn't so much, is debt a sin? I think the best question to ask is it honoring to God? As a child of God, as a sinner who's been saved, you've been given a life of salvation. And the best question is what I'm doing with my pocket, is what I'm doing with my dollar, my money, my finances, is it honoring to the God who saved me from eternal damnation? Whoa, man, that's really deep. I wasn't prepared for that. I know you weren't. That's why I said it. The best way to ask these questions is watching YouTube for 2 hours, is that honoring to God? If I smoke this cigarette right now, is that honoring God? If I'm planning on going into debt, is that going to be honoring to God? I think that's the better question to ask. And I don't have the answer, because I think that's between you and the Spirit. That's between you and God. You guys can go together, wrestle through that, and figure that out. And you guys can decide together if that's what your conviction is. That basically leads me to a story. My example, a realistic story I want to give you guys about our story, Brianna and I. We were in debt when we first got married. And we're 27 years old now and we're debt free. And I would like to also tell you that we chose to plow through our debt because we wanted to honor God with our finances. So let me give you as much detail as I can within the next, five-ish minutes. Or so. We had $35,000 of debt. Spoiler alert, it was student loans. Yeah. Anybody else take out a student loan, or am I the only one? Yeah. You guys know where I'm at. Now, here's the caveat. Brianna's family is incredibly prudent. They're here today, too, so I can embarrass them. But they're very good with money. Brianna's mom and dad, they're very good at having an income and preserving the income and spending it accordingly so that they were able to pay Brianna's way through school. So Brianna graduated with no debt. My family's the complete opposite. My mom is an incredible spender. And if any of you have met her, you'll know. Because you guys know John Hammond from Jurassic Park? What's that famous line he always says? Everybody quotes? Spare no expense, right? Spare no expense! Well, my mother spared no expense when it came to her precious baby boy. So, I came from a family of spenders. So I had no concept of saving. I had no concept of preserving. So when I became 18 and I had to go to college, what did I do? Took out student loans. That's what I did because that's the American thing to do. So I went into debt and over 4.5 years accumulated $35,000 of student loan debt. And I'm like, hey, honey, you want to marry me? So she didn't know about the debt till she said I do. So kidding. She said yes. But we knew that if we were going to honor God with our finances, we had to pay this thing off because it was going to drag us down and it was going to keep us from doing better things. So we did this thing together called Financial Peace University. Anybody heard of it? Yes. Man, how many times have I got to raise my hand today? So. Dave Ramsey is an incredibly gifted man. God has blessed that man with just a wealth of knowledge about debt, finances, investing. I highly encourage you guys to just listen to his radio program. Even for an hour, it will dramatically change the way you view money. And Financial Peace University is Dave Ramsey's 6-7 week series on how to get out of debt and stay out of debt, which is really cool. So we took that class and we began to say, you know what, we're gung-ho. We got to get gazelle intense. We got to plow through this $35,000 of debt, and we got to do it now. Well, honey, we don't have $35,000 in savings, so we got to figure something out. So we prudently planned ahead. We took our income, we mapped it out, and we decided this is how much we need to pay. This is the max that we can pay every month after bills and rent and all that jazz, that we can pay towards the student loan debt so we can get out as soon as we can. Well, at the time, we originally mapped it out, and we found out that if we did it accordingly, we could be debt-free in about, 3.5-4 years, I think. Yeah, we were gung-ho. We were ready. We were making about $1,000 to $1,300 student loan payments every single month. Holy cow, could you imagine what I could have done with that money if I wasn't in debt? So that was our plan. We made our first debt payment as a couple in October of 2014. We got married in June of 2014. Took a couple months to figure out what the heck we were doing. I married you? So we made our first debt payment in October of 2014. And we mapped it out where we'd be debt-free in about 3.5 to 4 years. And then we said, hey, let's have a kid. So we got pregnant. And we then redid the math and with our current incomes at the time, and we figured out, well, Brianna wants to be stay-at-home, so we're going to do that. So now we're down to single income. How long is it going to take to pay off our debt then? And then we mapped it out with a single income and found out it was going to take about 5.5 years at the current pace that we could go. So then enter Brianna's prudent family. We go to their home and we say, hey, guess what? We're pregnant. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. And they sat us down at their kitchen table. I remember this incredibly vividly. And they were telling us that, you know, we're just proud of you guys. We're proud of how you're tackling your debt. We're proud of what you're doing with your money. We're excited with what you guys are doing at church. And we're very excited to be grandparents again. They already have two, so Joseph would be their third. And so they slid us an envelope across the table. And Brianna and I are like, well, what's this? A Chipotle gift card? I had no idea. So we opened it up. My jaw literally hit the ground, and I almost swore at the top of my lungs, holy is the Lord God Almighty! Because inside was a check with a very large amount of money on it. And Brianna and I looked at each other, and we just couldn't believe it. Not every family gets this blessing, but it's a testimony to, if you start now being prudent with your finances, when you get to that point, you can bless your kids with it. And so we took that check home, we put it in our savings, and that was about August, and for the month of September, we were going back and forth. What do we do with the money? Because Brianna's parents said, we want you guys to do whatever you want. We're excited for you, you're paying your debt off, you're doing great things. You want to go on a cruise? Go on a cruise. You want to go on a vacay? Go on a vacay. You want to blow the load on new furniture? Do it. Invest it, save it, whatever you want to do. Do whatever you want to do with this check. We don't care. We just like you guys, and we think you're doing a great job. And so for about a month, Brianna and I kicked it around, and then eventually I said, you know what? Let's take this check. Let's take a chunk of our savings, combine them, and let's get debt-free today. And that's what we did. We took that big check that we could have gone on a vacation. We could have bought new furniture. We could have put a down payment on a house. But instead, we paid off the rest of our student loan debt, and we've been debt-free ever since. And that last payment was October of 2016. So we got debt-free in 2 years, which is pretty big. And we're happy about that. Now here, I'm not done with the story, believe it or not. After bouncing around a couple different jobs and Joseph being born, there was a point where I was at a job where it just wasn't working out. It wasn't a good fit. And it just wasn't going to fit between me and the company, and we mutually parted ways. So we entered a term of unemployment. I didn't have a job. Brianna was a stay-at-home mom with Joseph, and we just didn't have any income coming in. But any dollar that we did find, any cent that did come in, was ours. We didn't owe anybody anything because we paid off all of our debt. Now we're in a much better financial place. I have a job. I'm getting a lot of hours. I'm getting paid. We're getting money. Income is coming in. And every dollar that comes in is ours. We don't owe anybody anything, which is really nice. Which means that with every cent, every little Lincoln penny that's coming into our household, we can decide where it goes, and we can decide what we do with it and where we spend it and what we spend it on. Because of this, we've decided to take a couple risks, if you will, with our money. Brianna has decided that she's going to do some freelance editing. And she's doing a really good job. You guys remember Jason Cans? He wrote that poetry book. Brianna edited that. You're welcome. She's also in touch with a couple authors, and they're editing as well. But we have the ability to do this because we have the time to do it because we're not worried paying off debt. So we can do it freely. And the other thing that we chose to do was I decided to reinvest some of our money back into some of my passions, and I like to wood burn. And so I've been making these pop sockets. I just lost all of you. Pop sockets are, hashtag shameless plug, these things. They hold your phone. You can hold it like that. That's what a pop socket is. And this one I made. And I sell these. And I've been able to make a little dime off of a couple of them, which has been real nice. But it's been fun to just be able to do that, take our money and reinvest it in ourselves and follow some passions of ours. Brianna printed off a bunch of business cards. She would not have been able to do that if we had debt. I bought pop sockets and I wood burned a couple of them. I could not do that if we were in debt. But we can and we are. And we're debt-free, and it's awesome. Which brings me benefits of being debt-free. You guys remember earlier when I said, when you're in debt, the money you possess, you do not own? Well, here, the money you possess, you do own when you're debt-free. Every cent, every dollar that's coming in is yours, and you get to decide what to do with it and where to put it. So, what do you do with it? I have a couple verses to suggest what you should do with it. Again, you can go to the Lord about these things. The first thing we can do when we're debt-free and we don't owe anybody anything is that we can reinvest that money into the kingdom. And I have a verse from Malachi chapter 3. I'll read it for you guys. I don't really have the time to give you a whole lot of context, so I'm just going to read the verse and explain it. Chapter 3, verse 10. This is God speaking. Bring all the tithes into the storehouses, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you. In other words, one example that you can reinvest into the kingdom is, well, to tithe, is to give money to your local church, whether it's Cedar Creek or if you attend another church, you can freely give. You're not obligated. That's between you and the Lord. And you can freely give if you choose to. You can do that. You can reinvest it into other ministries. You can donate to Hope Gospel downtown. You can donate to the Sojourner House. You could put together a shoebox and send it off with Samaritan's Purse when you're debt-free. You can. These are some things that you can do. You can reinvest it into the kingdom. Keep the money with God. Other things you can do, I should just not put my Bible down because I have some verses. Other things you can do is that you can reinvest it into your community. So you can flip to Proverbs. We're going to bounce around. Flip to Proverbs 19. Come on. In Proverbs 19:17, it says, if you help the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. As Christians, we have a moral obligation to help the poor, spiritually, financially, physically, whatever it can be. And if we are debt free, we can take that money and reinvest it into our community, and we can help the poor. We can help develop shelters. We can help buy clothing for the poor. The next time you see a homeless man on the street, you can give him a dollar. You can take him out and buy him breakfast or lunch. You can reinvest that money that you would have spent on the loan back into your community. Another thing you can do with it is that you can reinvest it into your family, much like Brianna's parents did with us. And I want to flip to Deuteronomy here, page 223. I really should have just bookmarked it. In chapter 15, verses 7 through 8. But, this is God speaking again. But if there are any poor people in your towns when you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Instead, be generous and lend them whatever you need, whatever they need. Other translations also use the word brother in there when God is talking to Israel, saying, like, when a brother of your Israel family comes in and you need to take care of them, we can reinvest this money into our family. You can help pay off your kids' student loan debts. You can go on vacation and create new memories with your families. You can reinvest that money together. You can buy sports equipment for your kid who wants to go play sports. You can buy, I don't know, bookworm equipment for your kid who wants to read books. I don't know. But you can reinvest it into your family. You can take care of each other. And the last thing, well, there's certainly many others, but the last one I have here is that when you're debt-free and you want to know what you do with your money, you can do this. You can take risks and you can trust God with it. In Hebrews 13, which I think is a pretty good verse for this. Something that Brianna and I have been working on about taking risks and just trusting God, living a life of freedom and letting him prove himself faithful to us. Stay away from the love of money. Stay far away from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. That is why we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? We can take risks. We can take chances. We can take our money and start up a business. We can take our money and invest it into our brother's cockamamie business idea. We can take a chance with what we have and let God prove himself to us. When you're not debt-free and you're paying off money to someone else, you don't have that opportunity, that freedom, because you owe somebody money. You know, you owe somebody's money. Wow. But when you're debt-free, every cent that comes in, you get to decide where it goes. And you can take a chance with God. And you can see where he leads you. And if there's one more thing I want to leave you guys with as I wrap up here, is that why does God even care about this? You know, couldn't he just like make it black and white and say, don't go into debt, it's a sin, and be done with it? Well, not so much. I think God understands that we live in a broken world, we live in a faulty world, and God knows what debt will do to you. He knows what financial debt will do to you because he knows what spiritual debt will do to you. And debt will hinder your life financially and spiritually. Because when we're born into this world, we're born into sin. And sin keeps us from God because God breathed life into us. We owe him his breath back. And sin is a debt that we can't pay. So we can't pay God back. And God knows this. He knows that sin is a debt. So God paid for it through Jesus so we could be free. So we could live spiritually debt-free. And when we're spiritually debt-free, we can live freely, we can love unconditionally, and we can live a life of faith. And this is why God cares so much about debt. He cares so much about how you handle your financial debt because it's representative of how he handled our spiritual debt. He wrote one big fat check with his son, and he freed us from the curse of sin. So we can live a life of risk and passion and reverence for the Lord. And we can recreate that to an extent with our money and live a life of financial peace and no debt in it as well. Let me pray. I am done. The band can come up. We'll take communion. And we'll see where the rest of the day takes us. Lord, You are awesome. I say it all the time because it's true. And awesome isn't even a good enough word to describe it. I wish there was another word I could use, but I only speak English. You are awesome, Lord. You are amazing. You are wonderful. You gave us breath. You gave us life. You gave us a reason to live. You gave us a purpose to live for. And you taught us how we can handle these situations. You taught us how we could handle debt, Lord. You taught us how we could handle our finances and how we can take it, the money, God, and we can use it to glorify you, Lord. You know, you knew that debt would exist. It doesn't surprise you, God. You know that there are families that are in debt. It doesn't surprise you. But what we also know is that you care about them, Lord. You care about us. You care about where we put our money. You care about where we put our time. You care about where we put our spiritual energy, Lord. And I just pray that with debt, we can choose to seek to be debt-free in whatever choices that leads to, God. May we just glorify you with our pocket. May we glorify you with our finances. May we glorify you with our choices, Lord. And may we seek to understand you better and better and take a chance and take a risk and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.